There are two short readings this morning. The first one is from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 to 16. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed at their slander. The second reading is from Colossians chapter 4. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone.
It's quite cold in here. Should we stand as we pray? Would you like to stand? And while we stand, why don't you turn to your neighbor and discuss whether or not Joy nearly forgot to send the children out? Or was that just seamless in what she'd planned all along? There were some very worried-looking parents in the north aisle where I was sat, looking around in desperation. Stamp your feet, it is cold. Our ancient heating system is only able to raise the outside temperature by a few degrees, and it's pretty cold outside, so let me pray for us. Come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus. Be present here by your Spirit, and especially now as we gather around your word. Speak to us, we pray, in your name. Amen. Please be seated. American Airlines pilot Roger Finderson was the captain on flight 34 from Los Angeles to New York. He'd recently returned from annual leave, where he'd been part of a week-long mission trip to Costa Rica with his church. And he'd returned, as you can imagine, at the end of a mission trip, fired up in his faith and ready for action. A week of seeing people's lives changed by the gospel abroad had made him keener than ever to play his part in sharing the good news of Jesus when he got home. And so on his return to work, he had an idea, and he felt it was a rather innovative one. This is a true story. As Flight 34 took off and reached cruising altitude, Captain Finderston welcomed the passengers over the PA, and then he announced, ladies and gentlemen, would the Christians on board today please identify themselves by raising their hands? That's just worth imagining what you would have done if you'd have been on that flight. Apparently, of the hands that did go up, not many went much higher than the headrests. Anyway, the captain then urged the rest of the passengers to make the most of the rest of the four-hour flight to discuss Christianity with those who had identified themselves as Christians. And then he added that he'd be very keen to discuss his faith with anyone who was interested. Unfortunately, the response from the passengers was not what Captain Finderson had hoped for. With memories of 9/11 terror attacks, some felt the captain's words were a threat. Fearing the worst, several tried to phone relatives on their phones before crew members had to rush around and reassure everyone that everything was going to be fine. And of course, everything was fine, except probably for Captain Finderson, who would have found himself in some very straightforward meetings with his employer. And it was another nail in the coffin of the reputation of overly zealous Christians. We're talking this morning about evangelism, telling others the good news. It's a word that strikes fear into many of our hearts. For our Holy Habits series, the title for today, I called it Witness, maybe because I was worried that no one would come to a service entitled Evangelism. Witness sounds a little gentler, but now that you are all here and the doors are shut, I've asked Mark to lock them, I may as well be up front and say our topic, witness, evangelism, our topic is talking to other people about our faith. Our habit was due to be hospitality today. In fact, that's the one we were planning. I was looking forward to preaching on hospitality. I'd even bought a book on hospitality as part of my preparation. But as I talked and I thought and I prayed last week and this week, I felt we needed to think about sharing our faith as we finish this Holy Habits series. And part of the reason is this, that when it comes to evangelism, we have very little sense of what our habit or our habits should be in this area. Think of the other habits that we've looked at over this series, prayer and study and worship and Sabbath. Even if we don't yet have good habits in these areas, we probably all do have an idea of what our habits could be or should be. Read the Bible regularly, set aside time to pray, gather with others for worship, etc. But when it comes to sharing our faith with others, we never talk about habits or spiritual practices. In this series, we've talked about the value of habits. They are training for the Christian life, not just trying hard in the moment, but training habitually. We've said how you can't run a marathon just by trying on race day. You have to train. And evangelism, perhaps for many of us, is the marathon that we never attempt because we haven't got into the habit of training for it. And because we have no habits for evangelism, for sharing our faith, when the moment does come, out of the blue, an opportunity with a friend or a colleague, so often we duck it, or we fluff it. Or I suppose the possible worst case scenario, like poor Captain Finderson and his passengers, we force it. Although if we're honest, we're probably much greater danger of ducking it or fluffing it than being quite so crass as the captain. So in this final habit, as we finish our Holy Habits series, witness, evangelism, sharing our faith. And I think this also fits with what God is teaching us, how he's leading us at this time off the back of the church weekend away, for those of you who were on it. If you weren't, the talks are on our website. Do have a listen to them. Mission-shaped living. As we look ahead to next year, what is it that God is wanting to teach us? How is he wanting to lead us? Witness, evangelism, sharing our faith. And we've had two Bible passages read. Janet read them, and both of them talk about being ready to give an answer. ready to speak. I'm going to look most closely at the Colossians passage. You've got a Bible, do turn to it, Colossians 4. And it's a really helpful passage, Colossians 4, verses 2 to 6. A really helpful passage, not only about our habits, which we'll think about in a minute, but also our expectations. What does the Bible, what does God expect of ordinary Christians when it comes to sharing their faith? That's a really important question. What does the Bible, what does God expect of ordinary Christians, of me, of you, when it comes to sharing your faith? And this passage is helpful because in it, Paul talks about his evangelistic ministry and the ministry of the ordinary Colossian Christians in the same passage. And the ministries are different. Verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message. Verse 4, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt. Paul and the Colossians had different roles to play. Paul's was a ministry of proclamation, proclaiming the mystery of Christ. He says, pray that I may proclaim it clearly. Paul, we know, drew crowds. He spoke in public forums. He engaged in public debate. He preached wherever he could find an audience. Paul's ministry was one of proclamation. But for the Christians at Colossae, their ministry was one of conversation. Paul says, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should, but you, verse 5, be wise in the way you act, make the most of every opportunity, let your conversation be full of grace. Proclamation for the apostles and the preachers and the evangelists. For most Christians, conversation. That's what we're talking about. Speaking about our faith in conversation. And if we want to do that well, in fact, if we're honest, for many of us, if we want to do it at all, then we will need habits. And here are four. Firstly, pray regularly. Pray regularly. Who here, I wonder, considers themselves an evangelist? I won't actually ask you to put your hands up. Who here considers themselves an evangelist? If you were putting your hands up, I don't. Oh, Benjamin's got his hand right up. Benjamin, fantastic. Thank you. There will be some here who do have the gift of evangelism. If that's you, if you think it's you, don't neglect that gift. But it won't be many of us. Relax. God is the great evangelist. First and foremost, before our passion or our lack of passion to share the good news, and before we think about our ability or lack of ability to speak about our faith, we fall back on the passion of God. And we fall back on the power of God to open eyes and ears and hearts and vitally, the power of God, the ability of God to use us in the work of evangelism. We fall back on that. And in doing so, we pray regularly. Paul says, devote yourselves, verse 2, to prayer. He asked for the Colossians to pray for his ministry, but around that, to pray for their own. Devote yourselves to prayer. Pray. As someone has said, speak to God about people before you speak to people about God. Speak to God about people before you speak to people about God. And to be specific and practical, and we've tried to do that in this series for a moment, here are two ways to pray regularly. Firstly, pray regularly for the same people. Some of you will have done that if you've been part of the Thy Kingdom Come. Part of that is the pray for five. Some of you will have those you pray for regularly, the same people. Perhaps pray particularly for those you actually see regularly, people with whom God may give you an opportunity, you an opportunity. Pray for the same people. But secondly, make a prayer something like this one, a daily prayer. Lord God, give me an opportunity today to show and share the love of Jesus. If we're Christians, why would we not pray a prayer like that every single day? Lord God, give me an opportunity today to show and share the love of Jesus. Why would we not pray that every day? Why not? Well, perhaps because God might actually answer that prayer. That's one reason not to pray it. But why not? If you want a habit, this is a really good one. In fact, this may be the simplest, easiest, shortest habit of our entire Holy Habits series. Think of the others, prayer and study and solitude and meditation and service. They are much more involved and time-consuming. So how about this? You want to pick the easiest habit of our entire Holy Habits series. Try this one. Each day, every day, Lord God, give me an opportunity today to show and share the love of Jesus. Pray regularly. Secondly, watch carefully. Watch carefully. Devote yourselves to prayer, says Paul, verse 2. And then he adds, being watchful and thankful. Well, thankful, we know all about that, praying with thankfulness, not just asking, but thanking. But watchful, being watchful. What does that mean, to watch as we pray? Well, it means, if you like, to pray with our eyes open. Not necessarily literally in the moment, but for the rest of the day. Having prayed, Lord, give me an opportunity today to be watching for what God is doing, to be looking out for the opportunities that may be coming our way. Some of us, I said earlier, were on the church weekend away last month with our speaker, John McGinley. And by the way, John is going to be our guest speaker at the carol service on the 19th of December, actually. So you can, if you're on the weekend, you can hear him again. You can come and listen to him if you weren't for the first time. Invite a friend. It's going to be a great service. We're doing it twice, 4:30 and 6 o'clock. Anyway, that's by the by. On our church weekend away, it was this aspect for me of watching carefully that really struck me about John McGinley's daily life and has stayed with me, left an impression. You got the clear sense of someone who was always praying, Lord, give me an opportunity, use me. And then looking, what is God doing? Who is he leading me to? Who is coming towards me? In this regular habit of praying and looking, are you in that habit? Praying with your eyes open, or maybe a better way, praying and then keeping your eyes open through the day for how God wants to use you, who he wants to use you with. Watch carefully. Four habits. Pray regularly. Watch carefully. So far, so easy. But be warned, these habits are on a sort of ascending scale of scariness. You've been praying. You've been looking. What happens when you see someone God wants you to say something to, a moment, a chance is coming towards you? What do you do? Pray regularly. Watch carefully. Seize opportunity. Seize opportunity. Verse 5. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. 2 days ago was Black Friday. Did you buy anything? Did you take advantage of a deal that was too good? It's great having Benjamin here. It's great participation. Thank you. Was there a deal that was too good to miss? Black Friday, of course, has become a whole weekend, even a whole week. In fact, I think tomorrow is Cyber Monday, whatever that is. But a whole season of the shops offering deals that are too good to miss. When it's gone, it's gone. Seize the opportunity or you'll regret it. And the original, the Greek for verse 5, make the most of every opportunity, is redeem the moment. Another way of translating it would be buy up every opportunity. When you see a chance, an opportunity, even in some small way, to show or to share your faith. I don't know about you, but I can be very good at steering the conversation away from such dangerous ground. Moving on quickly, move along here, nothing to see, nothing to say. I can do that really well. But when the moment comes that out of habit you have been praying for and looking for, seize it. It's Black Friday. Too good to miss. And when it's gone, it's gone. As I've been preparing this sermon, and I do want to practice what I preach, I hope you know that. And so partly because of this sermon, and as a result of the weekend away, I've been praying a prayer, a bit like the one I mentioned earlier. And Friday was my day off. And I like to think I'm relatively sociable, but I was quite tired on Friday. And I said to Ellen, I've prayed this prayer, God give me opportunity with someone, but I'm not sure why really, because for me a mark of success today would be not seeing anyone else, apart from you, my darling, and my and my dear children, although I could probably do without seeing them for a day, that'd be fine. But I'd prayed the prayer, because I said I would, and I was sort of looking, I think I was, or not very hard. And then in the middle of the day, I went out only for a few minutes, and I wanted to come back quickly because Ellen was making a fry up, actually, so I went out quite quickly. But and I met someone who I didn't know, but I started talking to them, and after a bit, they said, "Are you the vicar?" And they said it in a way that implied that they were interested in the fact that I was the vicar, and I thought, this is it. This is actually the thing that I prayed for. Here is an opportunity. I must seize it. I must stay on this topic of me being a vicar rather than moving on from it quickly. And this is a really undramatic story. We talked a bit more. I mentioned our carol service. They said they'd never been, but they might like to come. In fact, they had some friends they thought might like to come. I promised to give them an invitation card when they come out next week. I've made a note, make sure you give an invitation card to this person. And honestly, this is the least impressive story ever told in a sermon on evangelism. But my point isn't the power of the story, but the power of the habit, of getting into the habit of praying and looking and expecting that God may well answer my prayer, a sense that he may want to use me praying and looking, and here it is, a moment with someone that I must stay in this moment, because when it's gone, it's gone. pray regularly, watch carefully, seize opportunity, and finally, speak graciously. 1 Peter says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason. Paul says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so you may know how to answer everyone. The time will come when we have an opportunity to speak, to say something. Someone has called this breaking the sound barrier. It's very scary. It may not be very much. It might be as little as saying, I think you might enjoy our carol service, or I'll remember to pray for you. It might be more. Would you like me to pray for you? This is how my faith helps me, whatever. It will most likely involve much more listening on our part than talking. Paul says that our conversation should be seasoned with salt. In other words, don't dump the whole bag in at once. If you're a cook, you know that will not make your recipe very good. It won't taste nice. Seasoned, sprinkled with salt. Both Peter and Paul talk about giving answers, implying that mostly what we'll say will come as a response to a question, or at least an interest, or an openness that we've observed. It means, of course, that we're meant to live lives that are worth questioning. It's a whole other topic and a vital one. But be ready, be prepared to break the sound barrier. Speak graciously. A few weeks ago, I heard someone talking about a wise vicar they'd known who said, from my experience, if you want to grow as a Christian, so what's the answer? If you want to grow as a Christian, and they said there's lots of things you could say here, pray, read the Bible, gather for worship, all true, all vital, but he said beyond that, if you want to grow as a Christian, speak about your faith. And that's really stayed with me. Speak about your faith. I know for me, leading services and preaching sermons doesn't count. If you want to grow as a Christian, learn to speak about your faith. So here are four habits. Really, they're one habit. A habit for evangelism. Pray regularly. Watch carefully. Seize opportunity. Speak graciously. And I'd like us to finish with a prayer. Paul, if you'd put it up on the screen. This is a prayer for us to pray together. Lord God, please give me opportunities this week to show and share the love of Jesus. Give me eyes to see them, courage to seize them, and wisdom to know what to say. I'm going to ask us to pray that together. Let's be quiet for a moment. Perhaps as we pray this prayer, we might be thinking of those that we know we will see this week. Perhaps we have observed a particular openness or interest. Let's say together. Lord God, please give me opportunities this week to show and share the love of Jesus. Give me eyes to see them, courage to seize them, and wisdom to know what to say. Amen.